Good morning to each one this morning. I've been so blessed to be here already. The spirit in the singing this morning mirrors the contrast maybe between the sunshine today and the drizzle yesterday. Thank you for your enthusiasm. Our visitors, we're glad to have each one of you here this morning. You're very welcome to be here with us. We're so glad you're here. And we just want you to join in and worship with each one of us, everyone that's here this morning. So glad to see each one of your cheerful faces. For a meditation this morning, I'd like to look at, I've titled it, What Does God Value? And what kind of led me to this is I was thinking of some things and thinking of heaven and some of the things that are going to be in heaven. And I was kind of thinking about them and then I thought about some more things and I said, you know, why are those things in heaven? And so I thought about it some more and I said, you know, the things that we value are the things that we want to keep close to us. And isn't it the same way with God? The things that he values, he wants to keep with him. And if we think about heaven, these are the things God wants with him always. So what are the things that God wants with him always? What are some things that God has specifically mentioned in the Bible that are going to be in heaven? Because if God values those enough that he wants us to have those always in eternity, clearly these are things he also values in our lives here on earth. I value, and you know, the other thing that made me start going down this line of thinking is I was thinking of perspectives and how sometimes things that we value are not the same. One person values vehicles and another person values tractors. Another one person values animals. One likes dogs, another likes cats. I like steady drivers. So I value cruise control. And When I'm driving down an interstate and there's somebody that passes me and then slows down and I have to pass them, then they shoot past again and slow down, I don't value that. Now, the truth is, at the end of the day, if we're going to the same location, we're probably going to get there about the same time. But if I was fighting him all day long, I might not be there in quite the same frame of mind. Maybe he's actually better than I am because he clearly doesn't care. So maybe that's actually the better thing. So are my values skewed? Is that simply a matter of perspective? My dogs value unsightly and disturbing bones and carcasses, and especially in the yard. They'll bring them in there very possessively, even with a touch of arrogance. They'll drag these unsightly things. I value a clean yard. I like nice landscaping. My dogs don't. So which of us is right? What are my values better? I value coffee more than I value kombucha. Does that mean that somebody else's values are wrong? I value my own travel more than Instagrams of other people's travels. Does that mean that one or the other of us is wrong? Is our values just a matter of perspective? Well, here are some things that are in heaven that I think God values. And I'm going to be reading a lot of verses here this morning, not a lot of commentary on them. Some of these subjects I'd like to speak about maybe in more depth in future times, but I'd like for us to think about them as we go down through these. How are my values lining up with these values of God? And some of these I've kind of grouped together. Because if we try to go down through and delineate every little thing, the list gets pretty comprehensive and long. And so I've kind of grouped some of these together. But the first thing I thought of was eternity itself, time or lack of time. Titus 1:2 says, "In hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began." 2 Peter 1:11, "For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." So I think that tells us a little bit what God thinks about time. What are the important things that God wants us to take time for? If we're going to have this endless expanse of lack of time in heaven, what are the things that God wants us to do with our time right now? The things that we need to maybe slow down for? Am I too busy? Can I take time to worship God? God doesn't look at time the way that we do. So let's make good use of our time. Another thing I thought of was security. Now God wants us to have that security in Him. Matthew 6 says, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." 2 Timothy 1:12, "I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day." So God values security. He wants us to get our security in him. But God does not enjoy it when, as a result of living in a world full of sin, people have to live in fear. And when people live in worry, God doesn't enjoy that. He values security. But we need to find that security in him. Holiness or purity. Isaiah 35, "And an highway shall be there, and a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those, the wayfaring men, though fools, shall not err therein." Revelation 21:27, "And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life." And just as in heaven there's not going to be any impurity, uncleanness, defilement, so God wants us to live holy lives with purity, with victory. Rest is going to be in heaven. There the wicked cease from troubling, and there the weary be at rest. Hebrews 4. "Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. For we which have believed do enter into rest, as he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, that they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all his works. And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest. Seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief, again he limiteth a certain day, saying in David, today after so long a time, as it is said, today if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. For if Jesus had given them rest, then he would not afterward have spoken of another day. There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that has entered into his rest, he also hath ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. Revelation 14, "And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, Write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth, yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them." How exactly does God intend for us to rest? Are we just supposed to sit here on earth and do nothing? Other verses make it clear that that's not the case, and I find it interesting, both of these passages, first one says, let's labor so that we can rest. The second one says, they rest from labors, and their works follow them. So there has to be work before there can be rest. And I believe I want to say this carefully, but I think God has a hard time using burned out people. But at the same time, God can't use people who aren't willing to burn out for him. And so somewhere in the middle there is a balance where we give our all for God, and then he calls us into times of rest. And I believe that our lives, there are seasons where we may have some more rest than others. But rest doesn't come until after the work is done. Another thing in heaven is going to be life. 1 Corinthians 15, "In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Life is important to God. And if life is important to God, we need to stand in moral opposition to all killing of humans. Abortion, murder, war, execution, suicide, things like drugs that drag people into death. We need to stand in opposition to that and point the way to true life. Also talks about white raiment. Revelation 7. After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindred and people and tongues, stood before the throne and the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. And all the angels stood about the throne, and about the elders and the four beasts, and fell before the throne on their faces, and worshipped God, saying, amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, what are these which are arrayed in white robes? And whence came there? And I said unto him, sir, thou knowest. And he said unto me, these are they which came out of great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore are they before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. Neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them and shall lead them unto living fountains of waters. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. These white robes were a mark of identity. We're with God. He's washed us. We're clean. Those are the ones that can wear their white robes. And so identity is important to God. Who we are, how we look, how we comport ourselves, the things that we do. It's identity as the people of God is what drives the way that we exhibit ourselves to the people around us. The way that we drive our own vehicles is part of our identity that shows whether or not we are people of God. Am I prone to road rage? Do I brake check? Or am I gracious as a driver? That's one small way. That's one small point of identity. Music is something that's important to God. Psalm 30, verse 12. To the end that my glory may sing praise to thee and not be silent, O Lord my God, I will give thanks unto thee forever. Revelation 5. And they sung a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us, O God, us to God, by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. Revelation 14, verse 2. And I heard a voice from heaven, as the voice of many waters and as the voice of a great thunder. And I heard the voice of harpers, harping with their harps. And they sung, as it were, a new song before the throne. Singing will be in heaven. So music is important to God. Praise is important to God. How does that drive what we listen to right now? If music is important to God, what am I listening to? What am I singing? What drives my music choices? Do I think about what I'm listening to, or is it simply a reaction? Do I care about what I listen to? Does God care about what I listen to right now? Another thing that's going to be in heaven talks about pleasures and joy. Thou wilt show me the path of life, and thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. God doesn't intend for us to be aesthetics or aesthetes, living in deliberate privation, deliberately depriving ourselves of all good things. There's many joys that he desires us to have. He's created so many wonderful things that if you look back at the very beginning in the garden, that beautiful garden he created, he told Adam, enjoy it. This is all for you. And I find it beautiful. It says, in thy presence is fullness of joy. Complete joy is in God's presence. Who should be more joyful than Christians? If you are truly in God's presence, if you are at his right hand, the way this verse says, you should be full of joy. Talks about in heaven there will be light, Revelation 21, and the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it, and the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. The Bible talks, says that you are the light of the world. It says, go forth as children of light. What are ways that we can be light in the world that we live in now? The world is full of darkness. God values light. What can we do? What can you do? What can I do that will be light in a dark world? In heaven, it talks about mansions. I see that as inclusion. There's room for everybody, everyone. John 14, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Revelation 7, 9, after this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb. Room for all, equal footing, no favoritism with God, means that God values each human being, and so should we. No racism, no favoritism, no politics, no jealousies, bitterness, or backbiting, no victims, no one's left behind. God values each person. It says there's going to be people in heaven. Saints. Talks about the value that God places on human beings and on relationships. There's many verses that talk about the people that will be in heaven. Those, it talks to the verse that we just read there in Revelation 7, the great multitude. And in fact, God places such a high emphasis on people that he came down from heaven himself to redeem every soul. It is possible for every soul to be redeemed to Christ. And he did that to make a relationship with him possible. That's the value that God puts on people. And I don't know how many of you have ever been in a foreign setting where you didn't speak the language and you didn't really know anybody, but you went to a church service and there's an instant connection that you feel. And that's what God wants. He wants us to bond together. As Christians, we need to be tightly knit together, even as we're tightly knit with God. There's going to be angels in heaven. And there I think of ministers of God, people on, as you think about on earth, people that are doing things at God's bidding. What do angels do? They do God's bidding. God sends angels. We hear many stories that God has sent an angel to assist or be comfort or something of the sort. And that's what God calls us to do, is to do his bidding. When he calls us to minister to each other, we do that. When he calls us to be comfort, when he calls us to rescue, that's what we do for God. And one thing that's always amazed me about angels is I have never read of a reluctant angel where God told angel to go down and talk to Joseph and tell him he needs to get up and flee to Egypt. And the angel said, well, can you send the one over here? No, they're standing ready to do his bidding. And as people of God, we need to be the same way. Not reluctant when God calls us into something, but standing ready to do his bidding. And of course, God himself is going to be in heaven. Christ will be there. Hebrews 8, verse 1. Now, these things which we have spoken, this is the sum. We have such an high priest who is set on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens. Revelation 22. And he showed me a pure river of the water of life, clear of crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. The throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it. His servants shall serve him. Revelation 21, verse 22. And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And that is the reason heaven is going to be so glorious, because of the presence of God himself and the presence of our Redeemer. And it's also the reason why our lives on earth are meaningful and purpose-filled, is because we don't have a wandering existence. We have a goal. We have a purpose, and that is Christ. And Christ's presence, God, is near to all those who serve him. And the things that I see that God values are things that we face or can face every day. So what are we doing with those things that God values? Are our values in line with God's values? Am I intent in bringing bones into my yard? Or am I going to bring my values in line with God's?